Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, guys? It's Braden Suprenant.
And Top Dog.
Thanks again for downloading the High School Football Podcast right here on Radio.com. Be sure to check out all of our other podcasts like Ben and Woods, The John Quintero Show, and Gwen and Chris. And be sure to subscribe so you can never miss a High School Football Podcast. I'm Braden Suprenant.
And I'm Top Dog.
Thanks for downloading the High School Football Podcast on Radio.com.
Are you not entertained?
We have only got a couple more weeks of the season, which means it's a sad day. We only got a couple more of these high school football podcasts coming up on 97 Through the Fan. I'm Braden Suprenant alongside Top Dog, Chris Smith. We're on to the semifinals for everybody and the open division finals coming up on Saturday. We are getting down to the nitty-gritty. We're getting down to the final teams and some of the best here in San Diego. I'm excited for it. I know Top Dog is excited for it. Chris, aside from traffic getting here today, because it sounds like nobody in Southern California knows how to drive in the rain, what's going on with you?
It wasn't that bad. You know, I mean, I just had to paddle in. I mean, you know, I had to borrow a canoe and just row down here to Intercom Studios. I mean, look, it's raining cats and dogs out there, man.
It's supposed to rain dogs for the next 3 days, it sounds like.
That's what's up.
Hopefully it clears away for Friday. Did you like playing in the rain? Did you ever play in the rain?
I did. I actually liked playing in the rain.
Really?
Yeah, it slowed down receivers. I'm a safety, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, slow down the receiver. You come across that middle, I'm licking my chops.
You didn't have to play on turf, though, did you?
I never played on turf. I never played football on turf.
So. Playing in the rain and turf is the worst.
Yeah,
I hated playing in the rain. I remember I played Mira Mesa one year, and it was like freezing cold, and the rain was coming in sideways for the entire game. It was just like 6 straight hours in the rain. And one of the Mira Mesa kids tweaked his spine big time. Like, they had to bring the medical out. And they ended up being okay, but there was like an hour and a half delay.
That's crazy.
For this injury of just sitting in the rain. It was miserable. It was That's a miserable time. Enough about the rain. Let's get to last week. We had a lot of interesting games go down to the wire. In fact, most of these games went down to the wire last week. As I start looking at the scores, very limited blowouts. A lot of games that could have gone either way, starting from the open division all the way down. A lot of interesting decision making in these games, and we've said it before, and you know we've said it on our broadcasts, and I've said it as a coach myself. It's now at the time where people and coaches start out coaching themselves sometimes, and there's a lot of interesting decisions that were made.
I wonder where we're going here.
A lot of different decisions that were made throughout the playoffs, if you will. Open division playoffs. Both these games were incredibly nuts. I called the Carlsbad Cathedral game. I thought that game was very highly entertaining. I heard about the Helix St. Augustine game, and then I watched the highlights on the Prep Pixie Report, and I know you were at that game, and that was a crazy finish that didn't make any sense either. So let's get to it. I'll start with the Carlsbad Cathedral game. This is a really good football game between two really good teams. I thought both defenses did a tremendous, tremendous job. Because going into it, I've seen Carlsbad play twice. I saw them shred Torrey Pines, and I saw them be in a battle with LCC. And this Carlsbad's offense was completely slowed down by Cathedral's defense. In fact, the running game was basically non-existent. Carlsbad's longest run of the night was 7 yards. Jeez. And it came on their last offensive play of the game.
Jeez.
A 7-yard run. Other than that, DJ Young was having a very hard time getting through that defensive line for Cathedral. The thing that did work out for Carlsbad, they did a really good job with their screens. They did a really good job, and when I talk about their screens, getting Cole Wright the football when Deshaun Swafford was covering him. Because Deshaun Swafford one-on-one with Cole Wright had him pretty much locked down. Cole Wright won some plays. Deshaun won some plays. But then you could see You could see the adjustment made by Thad McNeil. We got to get our playmaker the ball. Wide receiver screens, two of them go for long touchdowns because of great offensive blocking from wideouts, blocking downfield.
Hey, does it help when you have Jonathan Harrison?
Well, he was he was even one of the guys making the big blocks. The big blocks were being made by their skill position guys downfield.
Oh, okay.
It's on those quick wide receiver screens where the outside guy, you know, cuts in at the near hash mark.
Yep.
And the two guys in the slot were making great blocks, and they had great blocks downfield. One of them was borderline. It was very close to being an illegal forward pass or like an illegal man downfield because the pass was caught probably 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. But the blocking was so amazing. I mean, Cole Wright caught the ball and he turned and he was like, where's everybody? There's nobody here. And then he just takes off for a huge touchdown. He had a really good slant down by the goal line as well. Cole Wright had himself a really good game. Offensively for Cathedral, they were unable to score off of turnovers because Cathedral in their opening drive took the ball 18 plays and just marched it down the field, punched it in, and take a 7-0 lead. Next possession, Carlsbad threw a pick at their own like 10-yard line. So Cathedral had it at their 20 after the interception. First play, fumble the ball.
No.
Carlsbad gets it again.
Carlsbad
can't do anything with it. I think Cathedral gets the ball back. They can't do anything with it. Carlsbad throws another pick. Malachi Williams gets a pick. Aiden Sand just trying to force something downfield. You could tell Carlsbad's offense at that point was getting incredibly frustrated, and they were on the verge of like,
imploding.
We got no shot, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just what the attitude was.
Yeah.
And they throw a pick. Cathedral stalls with the ball. They get a holding penalty. It's fourth and long from, you know, the right hash. They go for a field goal. They just miss it to the left. So that's a second opportunity. Cathedral doesn't cash in on an opportunity to score. It could easily have been 21-0 Cathedral, and all of a sudden they're rolling to another open division championship appearance. But give Carlsbad's defense credit because they were able to, on a quick change and a short field, keep Cathedral out of the end zone. First half ended 7-0 in favor of the Dons. Carlsbad started working it. They started finding ways to get Cole Wright the football. Cole Wright made plays, as Cole Wright does. That's why he's a finalist for the Silver Pigskin. And he made some great plays down the stretch. But a big case was their opening drive for Cathedral. They get out their own 20, first play, 5-yard loss. Now it's 2nd and 15 from their own 15-yard line. Don't do anything. They get a bad punt. It only goes 16 yards. Carlsbad's in business. And then they punch it in to make it 7-7. Carlsbad then takes the lead on a screen pass that goes like 60 yards to make it 14-7. Cathedral answers with a 68-yard touchdown pass from Charlie Meyer to Coleman Smith.
Right.
Coleman Smith outruns the entire secondary of Carlsbad. They tie it up at 14. Carlsbad scores late to make it 21-14. And then Cathedral drive. They get the ball back with 5 minutes left at their own 20. They drive the length of the field. They get down to the 20-yard line. There's like about 2 minutes on the clock, or maybe 2:15 on the clock. Turnover on downs. Carlsbad gets the ball. Cathedral says all three of their timeouts. Carlsbad's got the ball first and 10 at their own 20-yard line. First run, back to the line of scrimmage, no gain. Second run, 7-yard gain. Third down, third and about two. If they get the first down, ball game.
Game's over,
fumble.
No.
Carlsbad fumbles, and Cathedral jumps on it. And I immediately think of 2015.
Yeah.
Carlsbad does the same thing to Cathedral in the open playoffs, and they're taking a knee to run out the clock. I mean, they're basically running out the clock to win the game, and Carlsbad fumbled. Cathedral picked it up, punched it in, scored, won 24-21 in that game.
Dude.
So you see that happen,
and you're, like,
and you're Coach Thad McNeil, and you're the Carlsbad team. You're sitting there like, this can't be happening again.
Right, not
this
now.
This can't be
not
happening
now.
Again.
Not again.
Cathedral, first down, false start.
No.
First and 15. False start.
Okay.
And they got the ball back with 1:30 instead of getting it, you know, at their own 40-yard line with like 40 seconds left. So you got to be thinking,
wow, this is
amazing.
Right.
It's almost to the point where the Cathedral's team's like, we got to go try to score here. We didn't think we were going to get the ball back.
Right.
And so your first guy jumps off sides.
Okay.
I mean, you can't be making those mistakes. First and 15, they throw a pass over to a deep pass to the 10-yard line. It gets caught and then immediately dropped. Second and 15. And then that was second and 15. Third and 15, or whatever. They get to like third and forever. And Charlie Meyer throws a dime to the right side of the field. Coleman Smith hauls it in. The defender like misses it by like a half a step. Coleman Smith rails it in and scores a touchdown. And now you're thinking, all right, there's about 30, 40 seconds left. Knowing Cathedral and how they are, going to kick the point after attempt, and we're going to go to overtime.
Right.
Right? This is going to be an overtime game.
Right.
And then just disaster happens. I mean, utter disaster. They go, they line up for the point after attempt, and then the ball is snapped. Half the team's running a fake, and the other half the team is running point after attempt.
No.
And when you get down to the nitty-gritty and you figure out what happened, the two guys that were supposed to be involved, at least those two, the most important guys for the fake, didn't know it was a fake. Because the call that they had sounded like what their normal call is for a point after attempt. It's loud. The holder is the guy that just scored the touchdown. So he's just ready to hold. It was a poor communication job. Remember, Cathedral doesn't have timeouts, so they're trying to just get this done. Hey, look, you know, we're kind of playing with house money right now to try to win this game. Let's just try to punch it in right now and win. And like, if we win, we win. If not, you know, this is our shot because of the way we've played so far. And then you go back and they explain the play to me, and I won't explain the play. But as much as Coach Thad McNeil at Carlsbad thought he knew it was coming, you watch the PPR tape and you watch the tape. If they run the play like they're supposed to, and when I mean that, like everybody on the team knows they're supposed to run the play, Cathedral's in the Open Championship on Saturday night. I mean, think about how crazy that is. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, the thing that I talk with my dad, I mean, full disclosure, we all know I coach a Cathedral. Right. We know my dad's there. So we have these conversations, and he was sitting there, and he's like, what happened to us? And he wasn't like shocked because there's been injuries, but you know, after we got to remember this team beat Centennial.
Yep.
Do you know what Centennial did to Jay Sarah last week? Centennial beat Jay Sarah 52-0. This Cathedral team has just, I mean, they fell apart.
Early. No, listen.
They fell apart.
They peaked early. And, you know, we talk about that, coaches. I've talked about several coaches, you know. When you peak too early in the season, and I'll be candid, it looked like, from the outside, you know, looking in, I'm not a Cathedral coach. I'm just, you know, a fan watching football. Looked like they just got tired, man. After they played Helix, that wasn't the same team.
Well, that in what my dad was telling me, it was that he's like, our offense was motoring, had a mojo, had some swag. You know, just because, and then, well, not only that, but you know, they had a poor game against Helix, and things unraveled quickly, and the ball didn't bounce their way, and there was a lot of things that didn't go right for them, and they weren't able to fully overcome that game. And then after that, I mean, they weren't really tested after that game. I mean, down the stretch.
No. Saints was a pretty hard game. They fell down early to Saints.
Yeah, but they were able to rally and win that game because I think at the end of the day, with DJ in for the majority of that game, I mean, they just had they were a better football team.
I will say this: when they played Helix, I think you saw chinks in the armor. They were definitely, I think, against Corona Centennial, against Saguaro. I mean, I saw those games. I was at those games. They looked like they were just more physically dominant. You know, better coached. They knew what they were doing and they were committed to it. Against Helix, they kind of got off their game plan a little bit. They looked beatable, obviously, when they beat him, but they just didn't have that same bravado, that same swag, that same, I'm going to punch you in the mouth and there's nothing you can do about it.
They didn't roll into that Helix game as hyped up as they did for the Saguaro and Centennial games.
You want my opinion? They honestly, when they got off the bus, they looked a little scared.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know about that. Cathedral plays Helix every day. And I'm going to tell you right now, that Saguaro and Centennial team is, not the Saguaro team, but that Centennial team is 10 times bigger, badder, faster than the Helix team.
And they didn't look intimidated by them.
I'm telling you right now, they, when I saw them, and I know those kids, I mean, I coached them 2 years ago.
Yep.
They look like, and I'm not saying they did it in an arrogant way, they look like, they were just like, all right, now we get to play. It's like they were satisfied that they beat Centennial, and they're like, oh yeah, cool. Now we're gonna win, right? Like, not saying they went into the game thinking like, oh, it's Helix, we're gonna beat this team. It was kind of like,
there was a little bit of entitlement.
I don't know about entitlement, but I think they were emotionally exhausted from the last two. Because remember, those two games came down to the final play.
Absolutely.
Just like the Narbonne game did, and the Folsom game did before that. So a lot of those kids are used, and then you know what? Your body gets fatigued, and then down the stretch, you lose DJ Ralph, which stinks. But I think the biggest player that hurt them the most in terms of not having him for an injury.
Let me guess. Christian Hall.
Christian Hall.
Yep.
Because I'm going to tell you, he's just a different back that Cathedral needed in that Carlsbad game. He's a different back that they needed in that Lincoln game. You know, he took a shot at the knee on the kickoff, which is very unfortunate.
Yep.
And the worst part was he would be ready to play this week. He had one more week he had to sit out, and he'd be ready to play. But think about
it. So that's what his tweet was about, huh?
So that's what it was. So he was sitting there going into that game going, all right, they win this game.
I'm back.
I'm back. Let's go. Let's go play.
Let's roll. Let's win a championship.
And now he can't. But I think Christian Hall is going to be a guy that now you don't have to worry about him getting hurt again. He can fully rehab and get ready to go for 2020. And he's going to be a fun player to watch, and I'm gonna enjoy seeing his leadership.
You know what's funny about that? You missed sleeping on that kid. Well, I saw that kid when he was at Point Loma as a freshman.
That kid was good.
Him and T-Bone that went to Grossmont. Knew both of those kids. Christian's a great kid.
There's a couple times, and he's just, I'm comparing apples and oranges with Xavien.
Yeah.
Because Xavien's a really good running back. There's a couple times where, you know, Xavien's good for certain situations, and Christian Hall's good for other situations, and they needed that Christian Hall type back in that game.
Well, see, I fully expected him to, when he got hurt, I expected you guys to put Matt Bryant into that into that role.
That's another kid that was dealing with
injuries.
Ever since that Helix game, he got tweaked, and then it was just never fully recovered, and you know, maybe rushed back too soon. But
maybe bring Lucky in. I don't know. I mean, you guys got running backs over running backs.
That's the thing. But they got, so you got, you know, Lucky. Lucky Sutton. He's going to be a great run next year with Christian Hall and Lucky Sutton, and maybe some other guys mixed in here or there. It's going to be fun to watch again. They just reloaded running back, but it was kind of like Lucky Sutton is still trying to. They're still trying to get him up to speed on what they do,
the playbook,
and then you don't have Christian Hall, and then you only have, and then Xavien's getting the ball almost every time. So it's going to be interesting to see, and that I think they're honestly going to be better next year than they were this year. But I said that going into this season. Remember, you're talking to the guy that was the only guy in the,
Who had him at number one?
I had him at number one to start the year.
You had Helix number one.
I did.
And I had who at number one?
I don't know. You don't vote in the UT poll. You big dog.
Cathedral. Hey, Cathedral.
See, I always thought Helix going into the season, based on Delshawn Traylor coming back and Leon Noah, the line, a lot of their guys they had coming back, they're the team to beat. And right now, they're in the open championship. And again,
can we talk about that game?
Well, let's talk about Carlsbad real quick.
All right.
Because I want to give them the love that they deserve, because I thought they did a great job. Their defense played phenomenally because they were on the field the entire first half. And they go in the second half, and they made all the stops that they needed to make. So shout out to the Carlsbad defense. I think Cole Wright, I didn't think he had that great of speed when he was playing against Torrey Pines and against LCC, but he was running. I mean, he was fast. He looked good. He ran good routes.
Mama, he was running.
He was a big factor in that game. I thought he had a hell of a football game. He scored 21 points. He scored all three of their touchdowns.
Oh, there you go.
I thought Aiden Sand made the throws that he needed to make when it mattered. He didn't get frustrated after two picks. He still went out there, and he was slinging the ball around. You know, as far as Carlsbad's concerned, I thought their line did well as well. But and then the last thing, I thought Charlie Meyer, the sophomore quarterback, making his second ever start, I thought he made enough throws to win the game. And he had a couple times where you saw the inexperience, but then you saw a couple times where it's kind of flashed like he's going to be fun to watch his junior and senior year. So that's on the game I watched. I want to know what happened in that Helix-St. Augustine game, because last time I checked my phone, St. Augustine was winning 7-0 with 2 minutes left. And then I look again and I go, Helix is winning 12-7. You know, or 12-7 Helix final, they win on a pick six. And I was like, that can't possibly be right.
Right. Let me get to the game that I went to. St. Augustine Saints traveled to the Helix area, obviously, and played the Helix Gotties. This game was an absolute defensive, I mean, from the very beginning, neither team established themselves offensively. I think the Helix, we won't go into drive-by-drive, but Helix struggled with the RPO. I think they put a lot of pressure on the young quarterback, Cam, over there, the senior.
Cameron Brown?
He threw a couple picks that weren't even close to being completed passes. I mean, literally, he couldn't see over the offensive line. He was only 5 yards back, couldn't see over the offensive line. He was throwing to a spot. I think Sam Scaife had a big interception that could have went for a pick six. They caught it back on a penalty. I'm going to be honest with you, it was sloppy football on both sides of the ball.
The Carlsbad Cathedral game was kind of sloppy, too.
Neither team really established their offense on either. I mean, not for Helix or for Saints. We get down. We go into the first quarter. The fourth quarter, it's 0-0.
Yeah.
Now, all of us watching the game were like expecting a 49-35 shootout.
Right.
Because these offenses have been doing, you know, nobody could stop them all year long. But when they start playing each other, I think you said it, they start out-coaching.
They start out-coaching themselves.
And
exactly.
So they start making play calls, and you're kind of wondering, like, okay, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Helix got a little bit away from their identity about the RPOs. There were times that I thought Delshawn was going to be in there where he pulled it and took off on the outside. Saints was disguising their linebacker coverage, and then Helix thought they could run inside against Pongia, which I didn't think was a good idea at all. And poor Christian Washington was getting hammered.
Connor now, Washington?
Who?
Is it Connor or Christian?
Christian.
Is it Christian Washington?
Yeah, Christian Washington, number 20, the sophomore running back. I'll tell you what, though. That kid's going to be exciting to watch in the future. I think he had 27 carries for 160-something yards. Heck of a ball player. He can put his foot in the ground and turn that corner with the best of anybody in San Diego.
And we've talked about him and his size and how he's going to be recruited.
He's going to be
definitely.
The dude. He's going to be the dude. So I'm not worried about them running back over Helix next year. Or they get another one with Thomas coming that's a freshman this year, has scored like 40-something touchdowns. So they got backs over there, but I digress. Back to the game. There's 2 minutes left in the game. Saints has got the ball. They stop Helix on the goal line. They get the ball back. They are all they need is one first down, and this ball game is over.
Or at least burn the clock and then send it the other way. I know they got they had a blocked punt earlier in that game too.
Everybody in the stadium is waiting for the run. We're waiting for Byron Cardwell.
Down is it? First and 10 right now?
I want to say it's second down. Second and 10.
So first down, they run it with Byron Cardwell?
Yeah. No, they run a screen on the first play, and Cardwell drops it. Then they go to the receiver. He catches it.
So now
I think,
there's
actually,
no,
I think
no
it's
time
like third,
is burned.
It's like third and 5. So we're all expecting a run. Out of the blue, Richie drops back. Colmenero drops back. And it's an outside, supposed to be a 10-yard out.
It's third and 10, right?
I think it's third and 5.
Third and 5.
They get the first.
But it's third down. It's third down.
And it's a manageable 5. Like, I mean, the way that they're running the ball, the way things are going, Helix is getting gassed a little bit. Their linebacker's been playing all night. You know, they're a little tired. Personally, I'm running the ball. I think everybody in the stadium was expecting to run the ball. Richie goes to throw the ball. It's a timing play, so he throws it. Receiver never made his break. The DB standing right there, ball literally took 2 steps forward, ball's in his lap.
It looked like the pass was intended for him on the highlights I saw.
The only thing standing between him and the goal line was green grass.
Was just the turf.
So he just took off running, and it wasn't Keontae. It wasn't the big running back. I mean, it wasn't their number one corner. It was like their third string. I think it was Sam Stewart, like a third string corner. It just fell in his lap.
He's like,
and everybody in the stadium, you could clearly hear everybody in the stadium just gasp.
Like, no.
Like, this is not happening.
Did this just happen?
This is not happening. So, pick six, they go down, they score. It's now
12-7,
and they win the game. Now, after the game, I did have a chance to walk over to Kramer. I will tell you this, and this is kind of sad, and I don't even know if I want to share this with everybody, but every head coach says they love their guys.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see him be super emotional. I mean, he was there with his wife, and he was actually crying.
You always get that in the last game of the season, whenever it is.
He was crying. And I'm like, what do you say to the guy? You know, and he looks at me. Now, here's a measure to me of a true head coach. He looked at me square in the face in the middle of all this, and he said, that's on me. Straight out. No BS, no excuses, nothing else. Didn't say anything. I didn't even talk about the play or the play call.
Didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything to him. I just looked at him. I was like, bro, you were in a heavyweight fight. It was round 12. You were beating Mike Tyson. All you had to do was stick him one more time on the chin, and you're going to the ship. And he looks at me and he says, that's on me. That's it. That's all he said. That was it. Didn't take my phone call for 2 days.
I wouldn't take your phone call either.
You know, Monday.
Hey, man,
me.
You always buzz some coaches after losses, man.
You
like stirring the pot too much.
You know, I got a lot of respect for Joe. I'll say that. He's a classy guy. He runs a classy program. You know, a lot of people around the county don't really know him that well because he's not a native San Diegan. But he cares about his program. He cares about his kids. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's gonna do what he's got to do to try to win ball games. And I feel tremendously bad for him, for his players. I know that he regrets making that call in that situation. That's kind of all you got to say about that. I just, Helix, you live to fight another day. When I talked to some of the Helix coaches, they were just like, that was a sloppy win, but it's a win.
Well, think about the last two playoff games these teams played. At the end of it, we're talking about a coaching decision. And one benefited Saints last year in the championship, one benefited Helix this year. Again, I'm going to say the same thing I said about Robbie Owens' decision to go for two. Last year, I liked the idea to go for two. And you know what? It's his decision. I'm not going to sit here and bash a high school football coach for his decision-making because it's not fair. And I don't know what's going on in terms of, you know, the down. I don't know what's going on in the game. I'm not there.
I'll say that. Can I rebuttal that?
I'm not done. Okay. Hey, you can rebuttal when I'm done. Hey, take your. You had your time. That's my time. All right. I'm just messing with you. But for me, when I heard about it, I was like, all right. But when you start breaking it down, you got to be like, when you want to win a game, third and five, Dagger says pass play. I mean, that's. I mean, the thing is, but it's all about where you're out in the field. I mean, if I'm thinking of breaking it down, I wouldn't have done that as close to the end zone as they were. Right, I mean, if you're, the ball's at the 45, let's say the ball's at your own 45-yard line, you can get away with throwing a pick because at the end, I mean, you're not going to like it, right? And then you're gonna make a lot of fans unhappy, but you still have a chance to make a stop. When you're on your own like 20-yard line, you're throwing the ball, and it's like, what if that ball's incomplete? I mean, you don't burn any clock. To me, you know, in that situation, you kind of, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but you run the ball by, you have one of the best running backs in the county, in Byron Cardwell. You run it to him on first down. You snap the ball at 1 second. You run it on second. How many timeouts did Helix have? Do we know?
Two, I think.
So they called two timeouts during the deal. So was the clock moving on that third down?
Clock was moving.
So the clock was moving on that third down when they threw that pass.
Yep.
You run the ball, man. I mean, you run the ball.
If you don't get it, you still punt the ball.
So is he thinking about the blocked punt that happened earlier that cost Saints? Because they did block a punt earlier. Now you're thinking, well, maybe my special teams unit's not as sound. I'd rather put it in my playmaker hands.
If he was, I'd say it's overthinking it. I think
that's
the smart play.
Out-coaching yourself, right?
The smart play is to run the ball three times. I would say not even the smart, the traditional play.
You got to play the percentages.
Run the ball. If you get stopped, you punt. You make the other team come down the field
have to move,
and score.
Yeah. You have to make him go down further.
Yeah.
How much time was on the clock?
2 minutes.
So there's 2 minutes when they threw the pick?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, that's still, I mean, you still have to keep them off the field for a long time.
Yeah, but their defense was doing it all night. You think about it. They got
I know.
The fourth quarter was
they
zero
held the six
up,
points
so.
The entire game. And they even had the guy miss a PAT after a penalty. That's true. I mean, your defense has played lights out. I mean,
I think his guys were gassed. So I will say that most of the starters over there were playing two ways. I mean, both ways. I mean, they're going to be tired in that situation. So, you know, maybe he was just going for, you know what, let's get this thing over with. I believe in my guys. I trust my guys. And, you know, I can't knock a coach for that. If he really is sold out to him, really thinks they can get it done and believes in his quarterback, believes in his wide receiver,
yeah.
You know what, more power to him.
I agree.
I just don't know that I would have made that decision in that situation.
And we're not going to sit here and pick that decision apart for the rest of the show. It was probably the same conversation we had last year with, you know, about Robbie Owens.
Back to Robbie Owens for a minute. Mm-hmm. So I can say this only because I was standing with Kelly Owens, his wife, and his son when he made that call. And I'll tell everybody, I think, and Kelly can attest to this to Robbie, I looked at her after he took the points off the board. I looked at her and I said, you realize if they don't get this, it's going to be a really long night for y'all. And I don't know that he's going to make it out
it's
of the stadium
long,
alive.
It's going to be a long couple months. And so, it was a long couple months.
I will stand by what I said last year. I'll say it again. Never take points off the board. I don't agree with the decision to go for two. I think you take the points. You'd already got them. Take the points. Take this thing to overtime. Win the ball game that way.
Yeah,
I never take points off the board. I'm not that guy.
That's the difference between that decision and the Cathedral decision to go for two, because Cathedral's decision to go for two was they're just going for two.
Right.
It wasn't like,
They got the points.
We got
and
it,
took
and now we're tied
board.
Going to overtime.
Right.
And it's
there's
like
a penalty. Oh, yeah. Let's go for two now. No, I don't like that decision at all.
I don't like that. I don't like that decision. I don't mind the decision to go for two to try to win it, but it's got to be out of the gate. Other games that around the county. Lincoln looked like they cruised to a win over Torrey Pines, although
not
the score
so
was close.
Torrey played a really good first half, and if you looked at that, they were up 14-3 going into half.
They were up 14-3.
And it took the freshman quarterback to come in and run for darn near 400 yards in the second half to win that game. So what's going on over there? I mean, look, they pulled Jensen, and they put the younger guy in, and then that little spark under the offense, and then they end up running the ball instead of passing it, which was kind of confusing because I thought Torrey Pines was going to struggle with the passing game. Turns out they struggled with the running game.
Which is concerning for if you're – I mean, Carlsbad shredded Torrey Pines secondary. I mean, it was just like easy pickings all day. I was kind of surprised by that score as well. But you know Torrey Pines is well coached, and they're going to be geared up for a game and be ready to go. How many times have they benched Jensen this year? Is it every game? I mean, it seems like it's every game. I mean, you say that every week.
I don't know. You know, it's been often. But you know what? To his fairness, he's a junior. He's still learning the system. First year in the program. You know, one of the best offensive minds with Jason Carter down there. Sometimes they might not see things eye to eye. Maybe Carter sees something different. He makes the call, you know?
I want to really painfully go through every single game and leave the Oceanside Steel Cannon game for the end
because
I know that's the one
that
you want to talk about.
Come on, man, you're killing me.
I'm just kidding.
Because I'm the only guy who picked that, no?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think on record, yeah. On the record, yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. You're the only one that had the
I called that my cojones, upset of the week.
You're the only one that had the cojones to say it on record that you know, the roll with Oceanside over Steel Canyon. They do it in overtime down at Steel. Tell us why that happened, Chris. Go ahead.
One player. Kavika Tua,
Kavika
man.
Kavika Tua is
Listen,
nasty.
When Kavika Tua makes you change your defense and you put eight in the box, it opened up the passing game for them to go and take the ball downfield. So it don't surprise me. You know, like I told you, it didn't surprise me. I knew that they were going to have trouble. As long as Oceanside stayed close, they'd have a shot in the end of the game. That's exactly what happened.
And Oceanside looking for another good win, hopefully, this week as they move on to play Madison, right? That should be a good one.
That's going
to
be a great game.
D2 play. What about that Bishop's Poway game?
Oh,
that game was a lot
Wait a minute.
Closer than I thought
Wait
it was going to be.
Okay. I got to say this. For all the coaches out there that DM me, text message me, that got in their feelings about putting a junior on the Silver Pigskin podium and got in them, oh, he didn't play nobody.
I wouldn't say Poway is like some world beater all of a sudden.
They're a top Division II team.
But it's definitely better than what they've played so far this year.
They are a top Division II team. And if you look at his stat line, the kid ran for 3 yards and passed over 390. What do you want him to do? What more does he have to do to you to prove that he is that guy?
Well, I think he's a really good quarterback.
If you put whatever team you put in front of him, he beats. They're undefeated.
I'm not buying you saying Poway is like some legit team. Because
okay.
I've watched them play
so
multiple
So what happens
times.
When he torches Santa Fe Christian for the second time this year, this
Santa
weekend?
Fe Christian's not a good team
Okay.
either.
So who are they going to meet in the
if
finals
they,
then?
If they beat Vista
then what?
By 21 points
21.
And shred them, then I would say, yeah, I mean, that's the deal. But
again, they're a Division II
you're
team.
Not talking to somebody that is not a believer in Tyler Buchner.
Oh.
I'm just telling you about, if you want a credibility, like, all
he's
right,
He's a
look,
junior, and he's the best quarterback in San Diego. He's putting up video game numbers. The kid's committed to Notre Dame.
All right.
He's a class act. I don't care what
you've
none
yet,
of these coaches
you've
have to say.
You've yet to say anything false right there.
Exactly.
But I'm still saying what I'm saying in terms of if we want to talk competition, don't throw Poway out there as like, oh man, they beat Poway by 1 point in a shootout. I honestly, everybody's
well,
talking
no
about
defense.
Here's the deal. Everybody's talking about how, you know, Bishops just beat a really good team.
Them.
I was more concerned with Bishops after that 52-51 win
oh,
than
Lord.
I was going into it because
oh,
they gave up 51 to Poway, and the fact that they had to do that, I think, is a little concerning for Bishops in this point.
Not me.
That's fine. And again, I don't disagree with you with Tyler Buchner. I am a Tyler Buchner fan. I agree with you.
Of the Division II teams that are out there, I would say that Poway is one of the topper. Like, they're in the top five, six teams in Division II.
They got the 9 seed.
Okay. Well, they didn't have a great year, but I will say I've seen them, and I'm telling you.
I watched them play Retro Bernardo, and down the stretch, they were not.
What is Retro Bernardo? They're 1 or 2?
They're Division I.
Okay.
They were quick out. Yeah. They lost to Torrey Pines by 35 points.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Poway is D2. They're not D1. If they even help with the D1 team, you got to give them respect.
All right. You want to pull up the power rating number?
Let's go.
Let's see who the Bishop.
Let's see who Bishop's best team
that they've played all year. I guarantee.
It's probably Poway.
I bet you they played somebody better this year.
I don't think so.
I bet you they have.
I don't think so.
I think they have.
I think you're wrong.
That's fine. Did you do your research before? Are you sweating over there?
I'm not
sweating a little bit.
Not even a little bit. It's cold in here.
It's kind of cold in here. It's gonna get colder down the stretch here. All right, by division, let's see what we got here.
While you're looking that up, let me go over the other.
The best win Bishop's has this year
is who?
La Jolla.
Okay.
The decent
first game
win
of the year,
and they beat
and LaJolla
eight,
was
and
a lead champion.
They,
though
they beat them 18-9,
and they were a lead champion, right?
They were.
Okay. All I'm saying is all those coaches that sit there and say Buchner didn't play anybody, I'm going to tell you this. The kid will play anybody put in front of him, and he will beat darn near anybody put in front of him, and I'm done. Moving on.
You want to know Bishop's schedule strength compared to everybody else?
No, I don't.
They have the worst schedule strength in all of Division II. Their schedule strength is 3.
Okay, thank you. Moving along.
You want me to pull up facts?
You can keep going.
I'm just saying, man.
You can make whatever argument you want. Look, I'll take Tyler Buchner 10 out of 10
here's,
times.
Here's my argument. I'm playing devil's advocate because it makes for better conversation. I agree with you 100% in Tyler Buchner. I'm not a doubter. All I'm saying is...
He didn't play nobody? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying don't be puffing your chest out about your schedule being La Jolla, Poway, Modern Day, Santa Fe Christian, Orange Glen, La Jolla Country Day, Francis Parker, University City, Classical Academy, Tri-City Christian, and the school called Rosamond.
Okay. First and foremost, we're not pumping our chest out because of who he played. I'm pumping my chest out because that kid is a freaking athlete and the best quarterback in San Diego. My argument is you put whatever team you put in front of him. I don't care. You put him at Helix, he's going to do the same thing. You put him at St. Augustine, he'll do the same thing. You put him at Cathedral, he's going to do the same thing. The kid's got ice water in his veins, and he's one heck of a football player. The only argument, the only knock that these coaches or anybody out there can find on him is his strength of schedule for his football team. So good luck with that. And when this kid's playing on Saturdays for Notre Dame and he's torching people, just remember you weren't fans, and there's no room on the Buchner bandwagon at that point.
Again, I'm going to be the middle guy here. I agree that he is the best guy, and I think everything you said is true. If he was on Helix right now, he'd be shredding teams. Absolutely.
Thank you.
He ain't putting up 700 yards every game, though. I think his yardage and his stats will be down, but I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to be winning a lot of football games.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could beat any team in the county if he's on one of those higher teams. But
I'll make another argument.
He doesn't lead the – my argument is he doesn't lead the country in all those stats if he's at Helix.
Okay, here's my other argument that nobody's saying.
All right, what you got?
How many quarterbacks in the county could even graduate from Bishop's?
I don't know anybody's GPA. A lot of these schools have –
These guys ain't rocket scientists. Let's be candid about it. Bishop's is not an easy academic school.
Neither is Cathedral. Neither is St. Augustine.
Okay.
Those guys are all
graduate
schools.
What about the rest of the schools?
Those North County schools have a lot of academic prowess as well.
Yeah. It's not as easy when you start throwing that in there, though, is it?
Well, why are you throwing that in there?
I'm
just pointing up the fact that the schedule...
Let's move
along. They got a point with the schedule.
I'm bored.
But again, I agree with you. I agree with you on Tyler Buchner being the best quarterback
in
San Diego.
Surprise of the night for me was Hilltop.
I didn't think they'd lose that game.
I thought they'd win that game. It hurt watching that quarterback, the kicker try to go for two. I'd hate to be a kicker on Monday morning missing that because that was for a game winner. And, you know, you don't want to see a high school kid have to go through that and all his teammates looking at him and all the fans and everybody. I mean, these guys are kids, man. That's tough.
College guys can't even make that. I mean, there are reasons that they're college and high school kickers. You never want to leave it into their hands. And if you're leaving it in their hands, it ain't their fault if they miss. Well, that's all I got to say.
All I know is John Carney is one of the best kicker coaches in San Diego, and he's available. If any kickers out there want to get better, go see John Carney.
Yeah.
Shameless plug for one of the 6 all-time leading scorer in NFL history right here in your backyard.
He does a really good job.
Central San Diego, I really wasn't that surprised about that game. I did call Central.
I wasn't surprised either.
I was surprised that San Diego kept it close at 30-26.
I will say that.
I thought Modern Day was going to come out a little bit more impressive against La Jolla, so hats off to the Vikings for winning that game.
They were missing Appleman, correct?
Yep.
How was that dynamic, do you know, with not having their quarterback?
They hand the ball off a lot to Aiden Calvert. So
I did see. I think it was their quarterback try to dive for the end zone and get. That was a great play by La Jolla. Stripped it right at the,
the
goal line.
1 yard line.
That was nice. That was a good play. Hats off to that defensive play.
And then the other game was Mission Hills Grossmont that I want to talk about. Another Silver Pigskin finalist has an incredible night.
Grossmont Madison or Mission Hills? LCC?
I'm sorry, Madison. No, Madison Grossmont.
Okay.
Keontae Springs went for 5 touchdowns. Did you see that? Five tubs. And then what does he do to seal the game? Game-winning interception to shut him down. So plays both sides of the ball, one of the most talented football players here in San Diego County. We had a lot of great football last week. I got to say, coming out of, in my opinion, kind of a disappointing season as far as, like, the competitiveness and games that were close, this round of playoffs right here made up for everything.
And a very boring first round as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, look at the score. I mean, open playoff was great. Division one, all the scores were relatively close. Division two, you got shootouts, you got close games, with the exception of maybe the El Camino San Pasqual game. D3, 34-33, 30-26, 28-14, and then you got the Scripps Ranch, 42-7, which I think they were definitely way better than West Hills is. And then you go down to D4, Orange Glen and Henry was somewhat close.
That game wasn't close.
I can't really make the argument for D4. No. D4 was kind of all blowouts. D5, Mission Bay Holtville was really close. I wasn't expecting that.
No.
Other than that, all those other games were blowout as well. Do we want to talk about the games coming up?
Absolutely.
Let's get to it. We'll start with D5, work our way up. Of course, the Open Division Championship is on Saturday. Everybody else is playing semifinal games for a trip to Southwestern College. We had the site check today.
Wait. Division 2, Bishops, Santa Fe Christian plays Saturday too.
I do. I see that. Okay. I'm glad you're on Cal Preps. We love our boy Ned Freeman over there. He listens. He's a fan of our show. He listens every week.
You know, Ned, I'm a little jealous, though. You talk to Bray, you talk to Coach, but you ain't talked to Top Dog yet, man. What's up?
We got to get.
I need you here, man.
We got to get Freeman on the podcast.
Listen. I don't know if he told you, but I'm willing to pay to get Ned Freeman on this show.
I'm sure he'd do it for free, but now he's probably going to be.
I'm putting it out there,
man.
Now he's
going to be asking for
money.
Oh, they got the wave. Is that Tony leaving?
That was TG. TG2.
That means it's time for us to start
wrapping this
deal up.
Hey, wait. Did I just come up with a new nickname for him? That's TG2.
TG2?
Yeah.
I like that.
TG2. Top Dog calls him TG2.
You should ask him, see if he likes it. Because if he likes it, we might have to start calling him that.
TG2.
All right. Let's get to it. Here, look at you. It's like a kid in a candy store. Chris is so happy right now. He's got a huge smile on his face.
Shut up.
All right. Let's get to D5, Mission Bay at Castle Park. I think this game could be very interesting down at Castle Park. Castle Park's projected to win 28-22 on Cal Preps. You like Castle Park in this game or Mission Bay?
I'm not taking the Trojans. The run is over. Chris, you did a great job this season until you ran into Mission Bay.
Obviously
I'm
not
taking,
that good of a job. You didn't put
I'm
him on the Coach of the Year.
Hutchinson, I'm taking Aguan. I'm taking Logan Lewis. I'm taking the Bucks. Let's go, Bucks.
God, glory days back of Mission Bay being back in the conversation. I like it. I'm going to take Castle Park in this one. Do you want to see? I think it's a close game, though.
Okay.
Vincent Memorial versus Francis Parker. You got to think Vincent Memorial probably has got this one.
I'm taking upset. I'm taking Francis Parker in this game.
The game's going to be played at Central High School out in El Centro.
Doesn't matter.
Really?
I believe in Parker.
Why?
Because they just knocked off my Colts, so I'm rolling with Parker.
He's wearing his Colts football
shirt. I'm wearing my
today.
Colts stuff. Look, I'm even wearing the 1996
sweats?
Red Air Maxes,
dude,
baby.
You love red shoes.
The red Air Maxes.
And Chris is a sucker for red shoes, man. Didn't you just buy red shoes like the other day? You saw B. Stone's red shoes and you had to get yourself
yeah,
them?
Yeah, I did. Now I got a second pair. Chris, love red shoes.
You better be wearing those on Friday and Saturday.
Let's go.
Let's get to D4. Orange Glen at Santana. This is an intriguing game. Cale Patterson going against the Sultans. Sultans are the high power team in D4 this year. Orange Glen won a CIF championship last year. Do you think it's closer than the Cal Prep spread of 44-24?
I'm taking bombs over Baghdad, Santana. Let's go.
They do air it out.
The air raid offense that Santana is going to put 50 on Orange Glen.
Orange Glen, get any?
You know why? Because Orange Glen is secondary. Mm-mm, no, sir.
Do you get any love for being there before?
No.
Any experience on your side?
No. You got no secondary.
Last time you called out a secondary, that team got smoked.
I wasn't wrong, was I?
No.
Did you watch that game?
I watched the highlights.
Yeah. I got a call from that coach this week. When I said, hey, where's your secondary at?
I can't wait for next week when you say you've hashed it out and you've settled your differences.
I've hashed it out and set up my differences. Every week, baby.
Nobody likes it when you're right,
Chris. Listen, when Rudy comes into my office and says, who don't you argue with?
Hey, man.
I'm like, that's just me, man.
You're
I'm
a passionate
sorry.
Dude. Believe. Say what you believe.
I don't drink everybody's Kool-Aid.
Absolutely. Not a fan of drinking people's Kool-Aid. La Jolla Country Day at Sarah. Sarah's projected to win 44-27. Does La Jolla Country Day have another big offensive production game in them?
I'm going to look for something different. I think that Sarah is going to utilize Kyle Sampson in a different way. I have a feeling that they're going to change up their defense slightly, and they're going to confuse Kreitzman. See, the deal is, for me, Kreitzman's never really been hit. He's never really had a lot of defensive pressure really get to him. He's been able to sit back in a pocket and watch his 6'2", 6'3", 6'4" wide receivers run all over the field and get him the ball. With that said, I think there's going to be a lot more pressure with that defensive line from Sarah. I think they get to him early, and I think Sarah wins this game.
I think Sarah wins the game as well. Do they cover the spread? Or are we going to get a call from Mr. Smith?
What are we looking at?
It's 44-27 in favor of Sarah.
Ooh, no, they're not covering.
That's
going to
be
the
target for,
nope,
for
they're not covering the spread.
Coach Smith's wife. She's
and by the way,
covering the spread.
By the way, did you see she's looking for, she almost adopted a puppy called Shirley Temple.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you get my.
Check out my Facebook.
I think you get a Sarah sweatshirt.
The littleredog.org. They have puppies for adoption, and there was a little puppy up there that she fell in love with, and she's got to get permission from Drew to get the puppy. So
well,
I hope she does adopt it. So if you guys are looking for early Christmas gifts, shameless plug. TheLittleRedDog.org, adopt a puppy. They need homes.
Let's move on to Division Three. After Chris has had a lot of shameless plugs today. Brawley at La Jolla. Brawley's upset two teams now. Well, not really upset, but they beat Kearney out at Brawley, and then they go in and upset Hilltop. They're traveling back out to San Diego to take on La Jolla. I got to like La Jolla in this one just because the way they've been playing and the size of the kids that they have right now, and they've been playing some pretty good football.
And two names to you, Jackson Stratton and Makai Smith. Makai Smith might be the most underrated football player in San Diego. Only a sophomore, that kid is incredibly physical. He's a great receiver, great DB. He can even sling the ball 55 yards as a quarterback. So don't be surprised if they put him at Wildcat and do some funky stuff to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. Makai Smith is going to make a huge difference in that game. The Vikings win and cover the spread.
Scripps Ranch hosting Central. I'm pretty sure this is going to be the game that 97.3 The Fan will be broadcasting in my neck of the woods, Scripps Ranch High School. Falcons projected to win 28-17. I was high on Central until I watched the highlights against San Diego High, and then I was like, I don't think they're going to match up very well with Scripps Ranch. I think Scripps Ranch covers this week. I think they hammer Central.
I do too, and the difference maker in that game is going to be Josh Boma. I think Bowman's going to have a breakout game. He's going to get to that quarterback early. I like them to cover the spread.
He's way bigger than everybody on that Central offensive line and that entire team, to be honest with you. Central's going to be scrappy, though. They're going to have some scrappy kids, but I was not impressed with what I saw on the PPR. Division 2, one of the games will be on Saturday. The game on Friday, however, will be El Camino at Vista. Vista's projected to win 38-24. El Camino, I think it's been a nice run, but I think your end of the road is here.
I'm going to sing it for you. Turn out the lights. The party's over. Anyway, you would go into Vista. Vista's got, they're just too physical. I mean, with the big running back over there, David Flores, you got Desmond Tawa.
The three-headed monster back
dude,
there, man.
You don't have enough guys to stop that. Plus, I this El Camino team's a little different than what I remember at the beginning of the season. There's no Armand Trout. I haven't seen highlights of Zion Jackson. I haven't seen a lot of the guys that were playmakers from early. I'm seeing new guys step up and make plays, which is good for the team.
Noah Sagan's been
sure.
playing pretty well. Their new quarterback's not bad. But
I'm not sure, you know, who's going to step up for this game, and I don't know about the leadership. There's a lot of question marks around El Camino going into this game for me. I'm taking Vista to win this. Plus, I had Vista to show up in the D2 championship. So
yeah, I'm a huge supporter of Vista, and just to think about some of the same teams that they played. Vista against the Avocado League, they did lose twice, but they lost to Carlsbad by 1 point. They were actually beating Carlsbad late. In that football game. Those are two teams that, if I look at El Camino was unable to beat both of those teams. El Camino lost to La Casa Canyon 34-8. I know it was earlier in the season. And they ended up losing to Carlsbad 28-14. So in terms of Cal preps, I think everybody's going to be rolling with Vista. Vista's projected to win, what does it say, 38-24? I think they win by more, to be honest with you. I think Vista's going to have a really big day, and I think we're going to see Big Red in the CIF championship again.
I agree.
I think they're going to be going against Bishops. I think there's no real chance that Santa Fe Christian has. I've picked Bishops in almost every game so far. You know why? Because their schedule's soft. How about that? You're asking for that. I had to throw that out there. I was expecting a bigger reaction. Bishops projected to win 42-13. What was the score the last time these two teams? But didn't they shut them out? I think they blanked them. I think Bishops blanked Santa Fe Christian. Yeah, they won 49-0 last time. Do you think they win by the same margin? Do you think Santa Fe Christian scores this time?
I think they're going to look toward a CAF championship. So I think that you'll see Tyler Buckner play the first half. If they get a big lead, I think they're going to sit him.
Yeah, I think Bishops cruises
so
on,
I think
on Saturday.
I think 35-7 is a reasonable score. I don't think Joe Allen's going to run the score up on him this time. I think he's really thinking about dialing in to get ready for the championship.
So that's Bishops and Santa Fe Christian in Division Two. We both think Vista and Bishops will be in the Division Two playoffs. Division One, last division for the semifinals, Oceanside at Madison. Both these matchups, we got Avocado League versus Western League. It's going to be a fun one. I like this matchup between Oceanside and Madison. I like the matchup between Mission Hills and Lincoln. I think both teams in both games are very comparable. Madison's projected to win 26-22. Mission Hills is projected to win 28-17 over Lincoln.
So this is probably the most entertaining for me, because all year long
see
I've
the
heard
smirk on his face. Right
I have heard, oh, the Avocado League's better than the Western League. Oh, we're the best league out here. Okay, so if Madison knocks off Oceanside, that means Avocado loses and they're out again. Mm-hmm. If Mission Hills loses to Lincoln, that's both Avocado teams out, and what? Both Western League teams are in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take both Western League teams to win these respective games, and I'll tell you why. Oceanside, in my opinion, is a good football team. I don't know if they have the playmakers that Madison does. I don't think they've been battle-tested as hard as Madison has. I think that this game being at Madison is a huge difference maker, and I think the playmaker that's going to make a big difference in this game is junior safety running back, wide receiver slash anything that they need him to be, that's Herman Smith.
You've been high on him all season.
Dude, next year he's probably the best player in San Diego.
I like the two Western League teams, but that'd be a little biased. I'm gonna go with Madison. I'm gonna go with Mission Hills. I'm gonna go with chalk on the Cal Preps projections.
Yeah.
But I'm all for the Western League, of course.
Say Mission Hills beats Lincoln, huh? Now, come on now. You got to sound either confident, make the pick, or don't make the pick.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Grizzlies in this one.
Okay, well, I'm going with the Hornets.
You always go with the Hornets.
No, I don't always go with the Hornets.
You go with the Western League schools against the Avocado League schools, though.
Every day. Every day of the week, every day of the year.
I try not to be as biased as possible.
I'm
although Carlsbad did get Cathedral. They do have that one Avocado League win. By the way, they got it by one, and Cathedral didn't understand the 2-point
I want to go to the Mission Hills-Lincoln game. We'll talk about key players for that game. The two kids that I think are going to make a huge difference in this game that you really have to watch out for, everybody's eyes are going to be on Joe Smith. Everybody's mm-hmm. eyes are going to be on Quentin Hadnott. The two players you really got to watch from Mission Hills, Sky Donnell. What does Sky do against Keyshawn Smith? That's going to be the matchup that's going to be really tell for that game. If Sky can lock Keyshawn down, Mission Hills wins. The other kid you're going to keep an eye on is arguably one of the top three linebackers in the county. That's Mikhail Soto. If Mikhail Soto has a great game, listen, last week they ran him the ball, and he was stiff-arming people, which I didn't even know the kid played running back. He's that good of a linebacker. But those two are the difference maker. If Lincoln has trouble with either one of those two on either side of the ball, Mission Hills does win that game. However, I don't think Mission Hills has seen the speed of a team like Lincoln before. And I'll tell you what, I think that they're going to change looks probably midway, probably like they did against Torrey, where they're gonna go spread first. They're gonna go five wide. They'll go spread. They'll try going over the top, giving you a couple crazy looks. Maybe stack some of the routes. They're gonna have trouble with Benjo O'Brien. I'm gonna tell you right now, that kid is a huge threat coming across the middle of that field, and he is one tough kid. So I think they're gonna have trouble with Benjo O'Brien. What I don't think they're gonna have trouble with is a running game. If Lincoln can't establish a running game and they get forced to pass, they're going to make the switch earlier, pull Jensen, put their freshman in there, then they're going to start running the ball. When they put eight in the box, they're going to try to go back over the top. I do think this is going to be a close game. This will be the game that I'm at, And I get to see one of my favorite people in San Diego. That's Jay Donnell. I'm praying for you. That's Sky's mom. She's one of my favorite people in San Diego, and I'm looking forward to seeing her Friday night.
I can't believe you picked a game you're going to on a Tuesday.
So what?
You never know. You never know a game you're going to.
Oh, boy.
I like this.
It's also, playoffs. But we talking about playoffs?
I also like making you roll your eyes. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, you really picking me tonight, huh? You really digging in. Folks, listen, out there in Radio Land, have you seen how many times I've given this dude a dirty look tonight? I'm like, what are you doing?
Hey, the
this guy's trying to make me the villain,
tables
man.
Tables have turned,
I feel
man.
Like Darth Vader over here again.
Hey, you see this?
Yeah, you stirring all right. I'm going to start calling you Spoon.
I'm stirring the pot Spoon. More than you usually stir the
yeah,
pot.
Yeah, you are, man. Like that. I'm going to get a lot of phone calls after this podcast. Good Lord.
I just want to run up your phone bill. Is that Jeez. Possible? Do you want to talk about – well, we have to talk about the Open Division Championship now because we're not going to be broadcasting until the next round of the playoffs anyway. So Helix and Carlsbad. I really like Helix in this game. I think they get it done. They're my pick at the beginning of the season to win the whole thing. They're my pick at the beginning of the season to be number one, and I think they do that on Saturday. I do think Carlsbad gives them a nice run for their money, though.
Helix better come with their A game. You can't play another game like you did against St. Augustine against Carlsbad. You beat one team in purple. If you plan on beating another team in purple, you better step up and have a good week of practice and be focused and dedicated for this game. This is not going to be a walk in the park. Listen, they... Carlsbad offensive line is one of the more dominant ones in San Diego, okay? Their defensive line gets to the ball. They got linebackers that fly around. You can't just show up thinking that you're going to win this game. I think this game is going to be very close. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter. My final score on this one, 28-24.
Hmm. 28-24. Carlsbad gets a field goal, huh?
They do get a field goal.
You go. You give Carlsbad three more points than Cal Preps has given him.
I didn't even see that.
He didn't either.
No, I didn't even look at it.
His reaction is not false. I was watching the whole time. Yeah. But hey, look, man, you're diving in on Ned Freeman. Maybe you're starting to figure out the formula in there in your head.
I got my own weird formula. Yeah, hey, Chris listen, what was formula. I? Hey, week one of playoffs, what was I?
You said, oh, you lost that Mira Mesa game, but I said aside from
19-1 the first week. What was I the second week?
What did you say?
17-3.
Is that with the spread or just straight up?
Straight up.
Oh, okay.
Straight up. 17-3 and 19-1. That means I've lost four playoff games in 40.
Well done.
That's 90% winning percentage. I dare anybody to come on a podcast and pick playoffs and go 90%. Anybody in San Diego, quarterbacks, dads included, I'm calling some people out because a lot of people like to chirp. A lot of people like to talk. You think it's easy to do what we do? Come put your money where your mouth is.
Wow, that's amazing. Have you seen that? That's embarrassing. See that?
I did see
2009
that.
Versus 2019.
I did see that.
Do you know my hair?
Did you see what? Did you see my response was?
I think I did. Maybe.
I don't know. Let's you didn't retweet it. You didn't even like it. So
where's
like,
it at?
I don't know. What's going on with your Twitter, man?
What you talking about, Willis?
I retweet. I said.
You got a notification on there? Let me see.
I don't know what we got here. You're killing my vibe now,
dude. I don't see it.
You're killing my vibe.
Did you not retweet it?
No, I did. I said, matter of fact, there were some people that liked it, too. It wasn't you.
It's obviously not popping up on my deal over here.
I don't know. I think I said something like, the only thing has changed. I said, I don't see any change. Oh, wait, you cut your bangs.
That's funny. Are you going to post one of 2009?
Dude, that's such a millennial thing. I looked for one, and I couldn't find one, dude. I mean, like, I'm old, bro. Sorry. I think my ex-wife has all those pictures.
2009.
And I'm not calling my ex-wife for no pictures for Twitter, Barbara.
All right, then I won't ask you what you were doing in 2009.
I was married, raising children.
There you go.
Was I coaching? Yeah, I was still coaching. Still coaching baseball in 2009. So maybe I'll find one of baseball. We go.
Yeah, find a baseball one. I mean, Chris showed up last week, looked like he was ready to play baseball.
Let's go.
His white pants. I was a freshman in high school in 2009, so that's fun.
Don't hold that against them, coaches.
I am youthful.
Are we done?
We did all the games. You got anything else to talk about? Anything in life? You gonna have a good time?
You know, there's a lot of rumors around. I will say this.
Oh, we didn't talk about San Clemente.
Yeah, let's talk about that. But I wanted to talk about coaching changes. I will say that there are some coaches that have already hit me up that are looking for new places or new homes in the future. So it'll be an interesting offseason.
Head and assistants?
Yes, head and assistants. I have had a head coach. Actually, a couple of head coaches already hit me up that, you know, it hasn't been made public yet, so I don't want to say any names or schools or anything. But they are going to be leaving their programs. And one assistant coach who was a former head coach, I I think people might be able to figure who that is looking for a home too. So if you guys are, you know, this is a fraternity coaching. So maybe you didn't get along with a guy on Friday nights in the past, but now he's looking for a new home. Always keep your door open, take care of each other, you know, stick up for one another. And you never know, you might build a friendship last a lifetime.
And Chris Four, who's a big fan of the show, he's part of the Coach's Corner as well. He does a tremendous job helping coaches find jobs. He tracks every job that's open. He has contacts for almost everybody here in San Diego. If you haven't friend requested Chris Four yet or reached out to him if you're in need for a job, or you know, maybe you're an assistant coach trying to go in for your first interview to be a head coach, he's a great person to know because he knows a lot about it, and he works in an admin and what some of these guys are looking for in terms of a hire. So he's always a good guy to have on. We've had him on our show a couple times on the Thursday night. Chris Four, Fallbrook guy. He's always helping out Southern California. I think he's in charge of the California Coaches Association, if I'm not mistaken. He's a huge advocate for coaches.
And this isn't just for varsity. California. So yeah. This includes junior varsity jobs and includes freshman teams. It's all across the board. Take care of each other. Stay connected. Make some friendships in the off season.
Hey, man, don't burn bridges.
Maybe you didn't like that guy during the season because you felt like he ran the score up on you. Well, it's the off season now. If you're not playing, reach out to him. Have a conversation. Sit down over, you know, maybe have a beer with him. Sit down, bury the hatchet. Because at the end of the day, we're all in one business, and that's a kid business.
Well said. That's a good way to end this podcast. I'm already getting excited for next year. And this
season's
not even over yet.
We ain't done yet.
Wait, this season's not even over. We still got to go through CIF playoffs and state playoffs.
Listen, if I can get along with these guys, you can get along with these guys.
Talking to me?
No, I'm talking to everybody.
Well, you got a lot of phone calls that have to happen in order for you to get along with everybody.
I'm moody.
It's a good. Hey, you know what? You're passionate. That's all that matters.
You want to go talk about the San Clemente thing?
Yeah, San Clemente. I commented on the Coach's Corner on Facebook. I thought it was incredibly hilarious. I don't think they have the tweet up anymore, but I remember every time they're looking for a game during the off season, they go, "Oh, we're looking for a game, but we just want to clarify, we don't play private schools, we don't play charter schools, we don't play schools that involve buses to school that aren't from our neighborhood."
And wait, what did they get busted for
and
now?
They just got kicked out of the playoffs in the Southern Section for a violation of contact before high school. Essentially, recruiting is what they got.
It's Rule 510, for those of you who don't know, and that's pre-enrollment contact. That means you did not disclose that you talked to this kid before he came to your school and didn't live in your neighborhood.
Athletically motivated, and you did not alert CIF of the nature either.
Coaches, don't fall for this one. If you have pre-enrollment contact, make sure to fill out your 510 forms and submit them to the California Interscholastic Federation.
You have a lot of jobs, Chris. Did you just get hired by CIF? That was a pretty good job right there.
No, I just know that CIF pain, last year it got wonky. I mean, everybody knew about the transfers, and everybody was going after this 510 and that 510 and blah, 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 blah. Listen, if you don't know what a 510 rule is and you're a coach anywhere, at any level, freshman, junior, varsity, anywhere, at any sport for that level, talk to your soccer coach, your lacrosse coach, your basketball coach. Make sure everyone in your community, in your school, including your athletic director, knows what pre-enrollment contact and CIF violation 510 can cost you.
Because, like you said, we're in the business of kids, right? And as somebody that has lost my playoffs because of admin people not being able to fill out forms properly or do those proper things.
Don't blame admin.
At the end of the day, the kids are the ones that suffer.
And I will say this. The sad part about some of the ruling governing bodies in San Diego, or not even San Diego, I'm just going to say
everywhere.
The country,
everywhere,
is even if they know you're doing something wrong, they're not going to stop you. They're going to wait until the very end of the season, and then they're going to penalize you. So don't let that happen to your kids. You can go through an entire season and get through it thinking you're perfectly fine, and then something like San Clemente happens where they take away your playoffs, and now your kids are sitting there. The 110 kids you got in your program that didn't do anything wrong are being punished for one kid.
Exactly.
So don't be that
guy. And the
other
thing is, they're going to come back with the rules are rules statement, and you don't want to get in that argument because that also stinks. But we're excited for high school football playoffs continuing here in San Diego. We got the semifinals for D1 through D5.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at Scripps Ranch.
And I'll be at where?
You're going to be at Lincoln and Mission Hills. That's going to be a good one. There's going to be a lot of good games this weekend. And then on Saturday, you're going to the Open Division Final. I don't know why I'm asking. I'm sure you're going to be there.
Of course I'll be there.
Yeah.
Wait, Saturday what time?
7 o'clock.
Oh, shameless plug. I am going to miss the Open Division Final.
What?
Yes. Guess where I'll be?
Where you at?
Wonderfront.
Ah.
It's Wonderfront Saturday night.
I know. I got a
lot of VIPs, baby.
There's a lot of tickets here still available at the stations.
I might sneak away though. I can't
miss
that game.
What time does Waterfront start?
It's all day.
Go there in the day.
Yeah, but the guy I want to see though. I mean,
what time is he at?
9:15.
Oh, just go to the game and then around like 8:30, listen to us on the radio as you head over to We'll be broadcasting the game.
Right.
Go to Wonderfront, you can listen to the game on the way down.
Scotty's, I'll be there.
Oh, all right.
I'll be there. I'm a South County guy. Sorry, Carlsbad. And listen, by the way, I got to give a little bit of shout out to the Carlsbad Purple Crew up there. They invited me out a couple of times. I couldn't make it this year. And I'm going to see them. It's sad because I'm going to see them Saturday night, but
they're gonna be happy.
I'm not rooting for him.
I'm not going to be wearing purple.
So
that's for sure. He is.
I might even wear my gray Helix championship shirt.
He's Top Dog Chris Smith. I'm Brayden Spread. Thanks again for listening to another high school football podcast. Be sure to download the radio.com app to listen to all of our high school football coverage. We got the high school football show on Thursday. We're going to go to Scripps Ranch High School on Friday, Central and Scripps Ranch. Then we got the Open Division Championship. Those games will be played on 97.3. The Fan. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Are you not entertained?
What's up, guys? It's Brayden Soprenant.
And Top Dog.
Thanks again for downloading the High School Football Podcast right here on radio.com. Be sure to check out all of our other podcasts like Ben and Woods, The John Quintero Show, and Gwen and Chris. And be sure to subscribe so you can never miss a High School Football Podcast. I'm Brayden Soprenant.
And I'm Top Dog.
Thanks for downloading the High School Football Podcast on radio.com.
Are you not entertained?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.